What they know about them Texas boys.
You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. I am your host, Eddie Cross. And you can find me on Twitter at EddieExperience, one E in the middle. And Jordan is off doing his hair. He is moving compounds. He's moving into a new gated community where his house will only be rivaled by that of mega church stars. But joining me this week, the host of the Man in the Cage podcast, Texas didn't have enough legal weed for him, so he moved back to Colorado, Mr. Jeff Brantley. Jeff, how are you doing, buddy?
Doing great, man. You know, to be honest with you, that's such a nice introduction there. The only thing Texas didn't have enough for me was green chili, actually. They didn't have enough green chili for me. That's
really?
Why I moved back to Colorado. Yes. I'm like, every time I go, it's not just Texas, so I won't rip on Texas, but anywhere else outside of Colorado and New Mexico, you talk to somebody about green chili and they look at you like you're crazy. So I had enough of it a little bit. I decided to move back and get more green chili where people knew where it was, what it was.
See, that just tells me you didn't take enough of our barbecue recommendations.
See, I took it, but you know, I'm not a massive barbecue fan, though. I'm not.
Oh,
you know, I like
see,
barbecue, but it's not. You know, I'm not into barbecue that much, though. But I did take your guys' recommendations, though, and Texas barbecue, I will say, is the best, though. I am going to miss the Texas barbecue.
Well, thank you for coming around. And speaking of which, I'm going to be in your area in October. You know, there's no secret here. I'm a huge 311 mark. And they will be playing Red Rocks on October the 2nd. So I'm flying up there for a bucket list concert. So try and give you a shout.
You should, man. That's going to be awesome. Anyone that's and if anyone's never been to Red Rock, anybody that stops by Colorado, they have to go to Red Rocks. Red Rocks is probably, for my money, you know, there's some great concert venues out there, but it has to be one of the most breathtaking, one of the best concert venues you can ever go to in the whole United States. So you're really going to enjoy it. You should definitely hit me up. We'll get some green chili, like I said. We'll head up there. We'll watch the concert. Listen to it.
You know, breathtaking may be the best word for that, not just for the view, but for the hike to get up to the amphitheater. I've heard that I need to start like a month ahead of time, you know, hydrating, stretching, doing some cardio. Hit the Stairmaster.
Even myself, someone who is actually born in Colorado, and before I moved to Texas and I was used to the elevation, even I would get winded walking up to Red Rocks. It's not easy. It definitely takes a little bit. You might have to get, you know, a little bit of a break here and there. Might have to take some water breaks, you know. I know we're going to talk about Derek Lewis later in the show. you might have something that's getting sweaty, getting hot, you know what I mean?
But well, that's my one worry.
You're probably gonna have to do that.
Because the show's in October, and who knows if it'll be snowing by then in Colorado.
It might be.
That's my one fear. Just keep it dry. I'll be okay. I got a new fleece hoodie. I'll be good to go. But I'm not ready for the snow. I've been to two Chicago Bears games, but only in the preseason because I'm not going to Soldier Field in the snow.
Yeah, that's brutal. You don't want to. Yeah, if it starts snowing, bundle up, because at Red Rocks there is no really, you know, hey, snow day or, you know, snow cancellation. They'll just keep playing for the most part, unless there's like 6 inches of snow up there or something.
Oh, yeah, they'll be covered. They're fine, sure.
Yeah.
Now, this past weekend, I'm not going to lie to you folks, I went to the Round Rock Express game instead of watching the UFC. I had to catch it Monday afternoon on ESPN+. And it wasn't bad, but it was like the old Strikeforce Challenger series. This might as well have been a Dana White Contender Series show. So the show of the weekend, going head-to-head with the UFC, was over on Showtime with Bellator 263. AJ McKee versus Patricio Freire. I hate it when they just take off his last name and just call him Pitbull. But in the finals of the Bellator Featherweight Tournament, Grand Prix Championship on the line, $1 million on the line, and oh my God, did the hometown kid come through big.
He did. I mean, what a finish, what a win over Patricio Pitbull. And to be honest with you, and I think this is a topic of the discussion that I've had on Twitter, that I've had with a lot of people, and some people really hate it, you know, and some people out there, and we even saw it this weekend, maybe we can even get a little into that, of the ratings of that UFC card compared to the Bellator card.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny, the UFC card still beat the Bellator card, which is just, I don't know. I don't even know what to say to that, because that UFC card was just hot garbage. I mean, I'm not trying to rip anybody too hard on that card, but it wasn't that good. I mean, they probably shouldn't even have had that card. They probably should have put some of those other fights on other cards.
No, you're completely right. And I was surprised that this show wasn't on ESPN Plus, but because they had it on regular big ESPN, just a casual viewer passing by could stop and see people punching each other in the face and go, oh, UFC's on. As opposed to Bellator being on Showtime, which you have to pay extra for, like, what, $15 a month? You have to watch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and, you know, in ESPN and the UFC, that, you know, it's them trying to, obviously, they knew that that Bellator card was going to be one of the best Bellator cards of the year. They also knew that that McKee-Pitbull fight was going to be, you know, one of the best fights of the year in general. So they were trying to steal some of that audience, and it worked a little bit. They got people to watch Strickland. They got people to watch, you know, him take on Uriah Hall, even though it was not up to the caliber. And again, nothing against those guys. Maybe, you know, Strickland goes on and goes on a title run here, but it was not obviously a title fight. It wasn't two of the best featherweights in the world. And, you know, before I kind of lost my train of thought there going down that road of ratings, that's kind of where I was going with it, that I do think that one of the prime discussions out there of, you know, is AJ McKee, you know, before that it was Patricio Pitbull, one of the best, you know, featherweights in the world.
Right.
I definitely think you have to have that discussion, though. I definitely think Patricio Pitbull is that good. And AJ McKee, what he was able to do to Pitbull over the weekend, I think that now puts him up there in that discussion as well. And you can go into Max Holloway and all those guys, Volkanovski. But certainly I think that those two have put themselves up there and two of the best in the whole sport of mixed martial arts.
Oh, definitely. And before we get back into that, you're right about the ratings, because to me it seems like a good experiment on the UFC's part to see if they're garbage. that might be a little harsh, I'm sorry. See if their no-name show could beat out literally the best that Bellator has to offer. And it did.
Yep.
Which is, it's not so much an indictment on the sport or the fans as it is the TV access. And that's the biggest issue there. But you're definitely right about AJ McKee being one of the top featherweights in the world. I mean, it's a shame that we can't see him go against Volkanovski or Holloway or Ortega, but I would put him right up there in like the top five in the world, which would also still probably include Pitbull.
Yeah, I think both of those guys are in. This is probably a little controversial, but I've said before, I thought Patricio Pitbull, for my money, I'd put him top two or top featherweight in the world. And I know it's, you know, the argument is, well, he's not going to face Holloway or some of those other guys, right? Because he's not in the UFC. But yeah. I still think that he is, though. I still think Patricio Pitbull is that good. And now, even before this, I thought AJ McKee obviously was really good to a great fighter. But after that phenomenal first-round finish over Pitbull, I definitely have to put him up there as well. So, you know, Bellator's got some things cooking. I know the ratings aren't great, like you said. And to be honest with you, I don't know how they ever even start to break that down even more, because I just think the UFC being on ESPN, having the machine of ESPN that it is just going to help them in the future. But, you know, Bellator's got some things like that now that they do have Patricio Pitbull, who's really good, one of the top in the sport. And same thing with AJ McKee now. So it was fun to watch them put on a show, and it was fun to watch AJ McKee continue his stardom, because that's what he is. I mean, he is a star. I mean, he doesn't just win fights. He you know, puts away fights in stellar fashion, fantastic fashion. So that was a lot of fun to watch on Saturday night.
Yeah, and before the Featherweight Grand Prix started, you kind of had hopes for McKee, but you didn't know exactly what you had. And then they start he decisioned Pat Curran, and then they start the Featherweight Grand Prix, which started in 2019, so because of COVID, got extended so much further. But then he goes out and finishes Georgi Karakanyan, finishes Derek Campos, finishes Darian Caldwell, and then finishes Patricio Pitbull. I mean, like, now you know what you have in this guy, and he is a bona fide star. He's still young, good-looking, cuts a decent promo. He's got the family lineage. I mean, he's from L.A. I mean, what doesn't he have? Just the UFC name behind him. That's the only thing missing.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, I think what A.J. McKee would say, though, and not that he would ever turn down an offer from the UFC in the future, but the ball's in his court now. I mean, like you said, I mean, he's a good-looking dude. He's athletic. He's got a flawless record. He finishes you with submissions. He can finish you with strikes. So he's an all-around fighter. He's got everything going for him. He's beaten one of the sport's biggest stars now, Patricia Pitbull, some other guys in the tournament. He's got the $1 million to his name after winning this one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the ball's in his court. I mean, if the UFC comes to him and gives him a huge offer, I mean, obviously, when he's a free agent, he's going to consider it. But on the other end of that, we've seen guys recently say, hey, you know, the sponsors in Bellator on the shorts, the money Bellator can give to some people, mm-hmm. they might prefer to stay there. So A.J. McKee's going to have a lot of options here, whether to get paid big to stay in Bellator or get paid probably pretty decent or big to join the UFC. So it's definitely exciting to see what where this kid's career goes and what's going to happen in the future for him.
Yeah, for Bellator's sake, I hope they have him wrapped up for a long time. But if not, it'll be exciting to see what happens in the future. But speaking of the future, where do you go next with McKee and Pitbull? You hear all the people talking about, oh, McKee should go after Pitbull's 155 title. And I'm just saying, hey, slow down. You just made a superstar. There's no need to kill off the other star immediately. Let them have a fight or two, defend their titles a time or two again. And then maybe if they both have them after another one or two title defenses, then maybe you can run back that rematch super fight in like 2023.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've seen a lot of these people say, hey, you know, what's next for these two? Oh, I really want to see the rematch. And I'm over here maybe like you a little bit, and maybe I'm in the minority, but I don't want to see that right now. I'm like, you know, I get Patricio Pitbull and the star that he is for Bellator and, you know, why the pot's percolating, if you will. You don't want to mess up this matchup in case something happens to Patricio Pitbull or, right. You know, let's say he, for some reason, decides someday to take a leave to the UFC. I mean, he's in the same division as his brother. He never wants to fight his brother for the title. Maybe he steps aside and lets his brother fight for a while and tries to let him go for the title, and he does his own thing in the UFC, you know, maybe something like that. So I get that side of it, but I don't want to see that right now. I want to see A.J. McKee fight other guys. I want to see that matchup maybe somewhere down the line. And, you know, I think it's kind of foolish to all of a sudden just think, oh, well, we just need to rematch these guys because he's still Patricio Pitbull, and I think you have to let the star of A.J. McKee grow a little bit now before you just throw him right back in the lion's den there and what could be a tough fight once again if you're Bellator. So if I'm Bellator, I'm probably giving him some other matchups first before I give him Patricio Pitbull again.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem with that is the best matchups that he would have are people who just fell out of the Grand Prix.
Yeah.
So there are some names, Juan Archuleta, Tywin Claxton, Daniel Strauss, Adam Borics, but they all just lost. So it gets a little iffy. And even then, when you had, Emmanuel Sanchez was ranked number 2, and then he lost Saturday. So now it gets a little iffy as to what you do with him, where you go. But I'm pretty sure someone's going to open their mouth and make enough of a stink and get that fight. And with Pitbull, there's talk of him dropping down to 135 to be the first Bellator fighter to win titles in 3 different divisions. Now that's something I wouldn't mind seeing.
Yeah, and that'd be a smart move for Patricio Pitbull. You know, you saw the A.J. McKee fight, and I, you know, not that the size was the whole reason, but Pitbull, for some of these divisions he's fought in, he is a little bit smaller, and he's been able to deal with some of that and win, you know, get on the inside of guys and be able to win fights. But, mm-hmm. you know, when you're facing guys like A.J. McKee that are, you know, a little bit lankier, you know, a little bit longer than you are, a little taller, a little bigger, sometimes it does catch up to you at some point. So for him, I mean, if he goes down to those smaller divisions, I think he's going to start cracking guys again, right? I mean, he's been cracking guys at the upper divisions. I think he's going to crack guys at the lower divisions. And similar, I think, to what, you know, Cody Garbrandt's hoping for when he's dropping down to to a different weight class now. I think that's what Patricio Pitbull, on a bigger level, probably could do if he dropped down to 135, is go down there and use that power he has and just absolutely clean the division out, you know, wipe the floor with guys.
Yeah, I've got 5 words for you, Jeff. Patricio Pitbull versus Sergio Pettis.
That would be a good fight.
That's got some name value, and that could easily headline any event that they have.
Yeah, it definitely could, for sure. That would be a massive fight, and one that people, you know, the Pettis name versus Pitbull, that would be one that would get people really excited. And, you know, Sergio Pettis, since he moved to Bellator, he's had a little bit of a career resurgence. Not that he was terrible in the UFC, but
no.
Since he moved to Bellator, he's been much better. He's been winning fights constantly again here now, obviously, and been able to make a run at things.
Yeah, now the bantamweight champion. So nothing to sneeze at right there. What, three in a row in Bellator?
Yep.
Four in a row total, won his last fight in the UFC against Tyson Nam. So, yeah, that would be a fun one. But if they ever do the McKee matchup, Pitbull's coach wants that fight in Brazil. So that's another reason to wait a couple years, a year or two. He says, when you ask a warrior, hey, where do you want to fight? They say anywhere, anytime, but obviously not in the hometown of the challenger, giving him all the advantages. He had the youth, the range, the reach, and then throw the home field advantage where he's sleeping and training in his home gym. We traveled 36 hours to get here. I mean, let's switch it up one time. He makes a good case.
He does, but at the same time, though, you know, it's like, where was this when Patricio Pitbull was beating everybody? You know, like, where was that? You know, I don't hear them complaining and saying, hey, you know, we want to fight Brazil before, you know? Now,
well,
all of a sudden.
Well, that was then.
Oh, yeah. You know, so I'm like, but I get it a little bit. But, you know, if I'm AJ McKee, I mean, I bet he'll, I mean, he's a, you know, he's a game opponent. He'll say yes to it probably. But if I was him, I'd probably say, nah, you know, I beat you, man. I stopped you in the first round. You're going to come back to my, you know, you're going to come back to where I want to fight you again. You know, and even if it's not there, you know, in California, like, you know, we're going to fight somewhere else, Vegas, Connecticut, I don't know. You know, we're going to fight somewhere in the United States, though. We're not going to go to Brazil to do this thing again, if I'm AJ McKee. But, you know, Patricio Pitbull has a little bit of a case, but I don't buy it all, though, from his coach there.
Yeah, I'm going to guess Connecticut or San Jose. Those are my two guesses for that one. Hopefully not Oklahoma. Good Lord, not Thackerville. That'd be a waste. Pretty much anything in Oklahoma is a waste. Yeah, that's right, I said it. I don't care.
You can go visit Tiger King. You can go visit their little his leftover tigers out there in Oklahoma. That's next to that casino, I believe.
Listen, man, we had enough issues with him wearing Longhorn hats that we tried not to talk about him. Okay?
Fair enough.
Just leave that off. real quick, the rest of the Bellator card. Usman Nurmagomedov defeated Manny Moro. How weird was it seeing Khabib in a Bellator t-shirt? That is something that they're going to have plastered everywhere.
It was really weird. And, you know, Bellator is smart about it. They're trying to capture him on social media and everything. They did the same thing with Henry Cejudo. They took a picture of Cejudo, cage side at Bellator. You know, Bellator was just trying to get all the pub they could with guys that are, you know, quote-unquote UFC guys but aren't under contract right now. So it was really weird, though, to definitely see him. But what a coach could be. I mean, he's a really good coach. I mean, for as great of a fighter as he was, he might be equally a great coach. And I know the fighters under his, you know, in that gym, under his stable, AKA all those guys, I know they're pretty talented, but he's a pretty good coach, though. And he may not need to step back into the cage or octagon ever again if he's going to have a coaching career like this.
I think pretty soon they're just going to start signing Dagestani high schoolers.
Yeah.
Just, if you've got a Magomed in your name, here's a contract.
Well, it's like I told you last time. Remember, last time you had me on, I said if I was a fighter in Bellator, UFC, really anywhere, and they called me and they said, "Hey, we got this guy. He's from Dagestan." I probably would not fight that person.
Yeah, you don't even let him finish the sentence.
Yeah, I would be like, "Nope, sorry, don't want that." I'd be like, "Do you have anybody from like Iowa or Oregon? You know, do you have anybody from there?" That's what I would say.
Anyone from Maine, New Hampshire?
Exactly.
What do you got?
Exactly. Costa Rica. Nothing against Costa Rica people, but someone from Costa Rica, maybe.
You heard it here first. Jeff Brantley says he can beat up any Costa Rican.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, over on ESPN, like I said, this is a card that was, I don't want to say forgettable, because there were some fun fights. The main card had, what, three knockouts and the fight of the night on it. But as far as name value goes, one name on there that most people would recognize, that's Uriah Hall. And he was only ranked number 8. Sean Strickland goes out and defeats Uriah Hall. Unanimous decision. And you could tell from the first round that Uriah Hall was not into this fight.
Yeah. No, you could tell right away that this was going to be one of those Uriah Hall fights where if he doesn't do something spectacular in the third or fourth round and knock his opponent out, mm-hmm. he was going to lose. Maybe badly, right? He was going to lose, you know, some way, probably by decision, because Uriah Hall just, he has this thing where, you know, he just comes out and he doesn't do much sometimes. He doesn't come out. He doesn't put his strikes together. He doesn't put his volume together. And this is one of those fights again. And it's just head-scratching to why, I mean, the why he doesn't change that at all. You know, I know he's so spectacular when he opens things up a bit, but he just doesn't. And he showed that against Sean Strickland here. And good for Sean Strickland. I mean, it's a pretty big win for him. I mean, he had his motorcycle accident or whatever, you know, a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. He's had a little bit of a long road back, and now he gets to go out there and he beats a pretty decent to big name in Uriah Hall. So good for Sean Strickland on a card that, you know, they did have decent viewership, it wasn't that good, but, you know, good for him that he still got a main event and still got to be a decent big name in Uriah Hall.
True. Top 10 win is a top 10 win, no matter how you slice it. But Uriah Hall, I say he's a good martial artist, but he's not a great fighter. It's like he doesn't have that fight in him, that killer instinct. But he's more into, seems like, the martial artist aspect of it. And it kind of reminds me of, like, my godson was in this program called Kickstart. It's like karate, but you're just going through the forms, but you're not actually kicking anybody. So he's got high marks on his form, but they don't spar. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God help any kids he does hit, because he's a little mean one. But, that's kind of what it reminds me of. Like, you see his fight against Anderson Silva, and you see that was such a martial artist versus martial artist type of fight. Whereas in when he needs to, you know, pull out the dog, you know, just scrap against somebody, he can't do it.
No, he can't. You know, and we've seen true martial artists over the years, like Anderson Silva, be able to be that dog sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's other martial artists like Uriah Hall, who they just, like you said, they do practice martial arts and they are true, you know, true quote unquote martial artists, but they're not a true fighter, like you said, though. I mean, he's not a guy who goes out there and changes up his fight plan, his game plan. He doesn't have the fight IQ of other guys to know, like, hey, maybe I should go out there against Sean Strickland and open things up a bit because Sean Strickland's probably going to take the fight to me. You know, he doesn't do that. He goes out there and he tries to be a martial artist again. And Sean Strickland is, you know, a couple cans short of a six-pack to steal a Bill Paxton line from Terminator. So,
Sean Strickland,
you
know, is
you gotta go out there and open it up.
Yeah, Sean Strickland is the anti-Uriah Hall. I mean, this guy's kind of a sociopath. I mean, what did he say in his interview? He would love to kill someone in the cage. They didn't ask him about that. He just brought it up. Like, if he killed someone in the cage, he'd be okay with that. And that's when eyes pop out. I mean, like, I think everyone is growing up has met someone or known someone like that. Like, I had a guy, JV football team, Michael. He, before a football game, an actual game, he just took a penknife and slashed himself across the chest. And you're like, what in the world is wrong with you? And that's who Sean Strickland reminds me of. He's just that nutcase that if he wasn't fighting legally, he'd be fighting all the time somewhere else. Or just, like, breaking legs for money.
I know. It's too bad we can't get Diego Sanchez versus Sean Strickland.
It's too bad.
We can't get that. Because that would be psychopath versus psychopath.
Don't give him ideas.
Crazy guy versus crazy guy.
Don't give Diego ideas. Don't give him ideas, because he would meet him at welterweight.
He
would.
I know he would. And that would be must-see TV. But, yeah, I mean, Sean Strickland is, when he's talking about, you know, wanting to kill somebody, and then even afterwards on the post-fight show, he's talking about, hey, yeah, I would take any amount of money to fight Francis Ngannou. He'd knock me out, but I'd take any type of money to fight him. I'm like, okay, dude, like, you know, slow your roll a little bit, Sean Strickland. Like,
jeez.
I know you're crazy, but I don't know if you want that smoke, though, from Francis Ngannou.
Yeah, because Ngannou could actually do it. I'm not sure Sean Strickland can, but he'd be okay if he did.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and real quick before we wrap up this segment, one of the Fight of the Night performance of the night bonuses went to Cheyenne Baze in the, I'm not going to say co-main event, but the next to last fight after, what, three or four other fights dropped out. And you could see her when her husband informed her in the back that she won the performance of the night bonus and the 50K bonus. She just broke down crying and explained in the interviews afterwards how broke she was and how much of a difference this would make in her life. And that could lead to just a whole nother hour on fighter pay. And it's upsetting, but it's one of those things that's never going to go away, it seems like.
Yeah, it's not, you know, and it shows you again, like you said, I mean, fighter pay is just so bad. And, you know, for all, you can, again, we could talk all day about this, but, you know, the way the UFC has treated a lot of their fighters, it's not good, you know, and the sponsorships, and now they got the cryptocurrency, whatever sponsor on the front of the jersey now, you know. And
yeah, they could at least give everyone a Bitcoin, man. Come on.
Exactly. At least give them a deal or something. I mean, when you start hearing that they've got the new logo, but the fighters don't get any more money from that they've got to broker their own deal with the company. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous, you know.
They didn't even give them Dogecoin.
Exactly. No Elon Musk Dogecoin or anything. They got to do something like that, though. They got to get the pay going a little better because you shouldn't have – I mean, well, I guess for the UFC's sake, it makes these $50,000 bonuses, $75,000 bonuses sometimes when they oblige Tony Ferguson. It makes them go even harder after it. But, yeah, they got to do something about that because you can't be making it, you know, a kind of starve or eat type of thing if you get a $50,000 bonus, because you're going to get a lot of fighters who, again, are just going to be struggling their whole careers.
Exactly. And on that note, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Fight Night with Eddie and Jeff Brantley on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com. We will be right back.
It's What's Up With That.
Woke up this morning and I got out of bed, had a big old cup of coffee to clear my head. Been home for a while and that's where I'm at, but we can still jam on What's Up With That. Ooh-wee. What's up with that?
What's up with that? All right, I'm going to have to cut that short a little bit, but Jeff, we're going to jump into this real quick. We've got some boxing news this week. The undercard for Jake Paul versus Tyron Woodley has been announced, featuring the brother of a well-known name. What do you got for us on that one?
I got for you that I'm not surprised at all. And in fact, I'm a little surprised that he's actually not fighting Jake Paul on this main card in the main event. You know, there's a lot of boxing fans out there that expected Fury's brother to be in that spot against a guy like Jake Paul, who maybe could, you know, maybe beat a guy like Fury's brother, who, you know, Fury, he's not as experienced as his older brother. You know, as his older brother, he's got somewhat of the same experience as Jake Paul, so that kind of matches. But he's got the big name, or I won't say big name because he's the brother, but he's got the name of Tyson Fury.
And yeah, they'd both be little brothers fighting.
You know, maybe, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, you know, but. So I'm a little surprised maybe that that's not happening, but yeah, you know, actually I'm not surprised that's not happening because Jake Paul was going to keep fighting bigger opponents, and Tyron Woodley obviously way bigger than Fury's brother here. But yeah, not surprised he's on this card at all. And
you know what I would say though?
Unboxed.
Sorry, real quick. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised that Jake Paul's not fighting Tommy Fury because Tommy Fury actually has pro boxing experience. He's what, 6-0 as a professional, fighting against real boxers. Whereas Jake Paul has only fought a point guard and a crippled ex-wrestler with a new hip. Yeah, Jake Paul doesn't want that.
No, he doesn't. But he's fighting Tyron Woodley now, though.
I think that's a mistake.
I do too, actually. I think Woodley, even though the way he left the UFC, the way he left mixed martial arts as of right now wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are counting out Woodley a little too much in the spot. I think he's got plenty of athleticism left. He's just, he wasn't up to fighting the top caliber fighters in the UFC now. But there's a lot of guys like that. And a lot of guys who, You know, if Tyron Woodley went to Bellator, I bet he'd be very successful right now.
Yeah, and now he doesn't have to worry about kicks or takedowns. He can just focus on punching, which is what he wants to do. And now he's fighting someone with much less experience than him. Even with his limited boxing, he's got much less experience. He's got much more experience than Jake Paul, at least in training.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, Woodley, I mean, people forget at one point, you know, Woodley's knocked out a freaking, you know, Robbie Lawler. Like, you know, he's beaten some big names in the UFC, Tyron Woodley has. And he doesn't, like you say, he doesn't have to worry about the takedown now. That was most of his issues. He would, you know, get his back up against that cage and not be active.
Oh.
Now he doesn't have to worry about that. Now he's all got to worry about his punching and being athletic, and he can chin check a guy here who has never been chin checked really before.
That's right. I don't think Paul's even been hit really in the ring. So, yeah.
I
don't
see
Ben how
Askren
that works.
Didn't.
Right. Also on the card, Ivan Baranchuk will take on Montana Love. Baranchuk is a former world champion. Love is a Cleveland native. And then Daniel Dubois facing Joe Cusimano, not a member of The Sopranos. Sorry, is that me? That
he
rude?
Should be.
Yeah. It's a great, it's a great name. But the question I really want to ask you, Canelo Alvarez versus Caleb Plant for the undisputed title is off. Damn it. What's up with that one?
What's up with that one is boxing once again that, you know, whether it be Canelo or Floyd Mayweather or Caleb, I won't blame Caleb Plant as much. Well, you can blame him a little
bit.
I'm
blaming him.
But, you know, you can blame so many stars. You can blame so many promoters. You can blame so many people in the sport of boxing. But time after time, same old story. It's just that deals can't get done. These deals keep falling through. You know, one guy wants more money than the other guy. And, you know, Canelo's trying to put into the contract that if, you know, Caleb Plant gets injured or he gets COVID, he's guaranteed, you know, $40 million and all these things. Like,
oh, good Lord.
It's just ridiculous. And, you know, I get why a guy like Caleb Plant would say, nah, you know what, dude, like, I don't want to fight you right now if that's going to be the case. I get that a little bit, but it's a bummer, though. And it's boxing in general that these big matchups, time after time, we don't get them. And that's what's made this sport kind of stay stagnant a little bit. It's never fully died, but if they allowed some of these matchups or if some of these matchups came to fruition, I think boxing would be much bigger again. I think boxing would have a bigger stage, maybe not where mixed martial arts has taken over now, but I think it'd be up there again, though.
Yeah, it really is a bummer, but if I'm Caleb Plant, you'd really have to pay me a lot of money, too, to step in there with Canelo to take the one prize that I have. Like, you know, the last year he's had to been just, I don't want to say quaking in his boots, but you know he could feel the breath of Canelo coming up behind him all year. And then when he won that third belt, and you just know you're next, it's like, oh, God. Like, how much will it take for him to get in the ring with Canelo to take his baby from him? And you'd have to pay me a lot, too. Now, I blame the Alphabet organizations. You know, they should be the ones making the matches happen, making the fights happen.
Yeah.
And then let them figure out who gets how much. And then things would be so much easier. But you leave it to the individuals. You got egos. You got wallets. You got bank accounts everyone's taking into account. And it's been haywire forever, and it seems like it's never going to change.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, I give props to Anthony Joshua, who recently, you know, announced he's going to fight Usyk. I give props to Joshua for that. I know Fury wanted to, well, at least they were close to, you know, where they were finalizing him versus Joshua. So maybe I'll give Fury a little credit too. And, you know, Deontay Wilder, to a certain extent, he's fighting Fury. He's fighting some big names. But I give credit to all those guys that want to step up in boxing and actually get the deals done and go fight these guys, because that's what we need to see in boxing.
And those last two you mentioned were mandatory, so I don't know how much leeway
that's
they
true.
Had.
But that's true.
At least they are happening.
Yeah, and, you know, guys find ways to dodge still in boxing. Guys still find ways to dodge.
Oh, they are the best at dodging. And very, very true. And on that note,
until next time, hey.
Stick around. We've got one more round with Mr. Jeff Brantley, host of the Man in the Cage podcast. We'll be right back on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com.
This is future UFC heavyweight champion Derek the Black Beast Lewis, and you're listening to Fight Night with Eddie and Jordan on The Horn.
And welcome back to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn. I am indeed Eddie, but joining me all show tonight on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, the host of the Man in the Cage podcast, straight from Colorado, Mr. Jeff Brantley. Jeff, welcome back. Thanks for sticking around.
Of course, man, of course. I like that hotline name. That's pretty slick right there.
Ah, thank you, man. They got some damn good Mexican food.
I like it.
Yeah. Now, you have just moved back to Colorado just in time to miss UFC 265. What is wrong with you? They better be paying you a lot. You couldn't have pushed us off like 1 week. We were going to hang out in Houston.
I know.
But no, you're in Colorado now.
I know. I thought about like, oh, can I move down here, start my new job, and then just like fly back for a day. I know. I'm bummed I'm going to miss UFC 265. 262 is so much fun. And I'm going to miss 265. I'm bummed. Obviously, I'm going to watch it, but I'm bummed I'm not going to be in the building with you.
Yeah, and we got our fill of Derek Lewis at 262. He just popped in the back for a quick Q&A out of nowhere, and he was Derek Lewis, his normal fun self. And I know you realize that this show is kind of Derek Lewis heavy. He's in our show intro at the top of the hour. We just had a liner with him there. We recorded that liner here in 2008 when he headlined UFC Austin the last time they were here. And we had him say he was a future UFC champion. And I'll be damned if that's not about to come true with any luck.
Yes. Yeah, I wouldn't say any luck, but I kind of, well, you know, I'm kind of going back and forth on this fight coming up this weekend. That, you know, Cyril Gane is just so technical. You know, he's so technical in his footwork, and he frustrates people. Like the Volkov fight really frustrated Alexander Volkov. So, you know, it's not out of the question he frustrates Derek Lewis here.
Yeah, and Volkov frustrated
Lewis. As we all know. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, until that last part of that fight where, you know, like where I'm about to get to here, where we all know Derek Lewis has that back pocket power, though, that Derek Lewis just has that game, even for a heavyweight, he's got that game-changing one-punch power that he can just turn the lights out on guys.
It's like his fist is a minivan.
It is. And it's a high-speed collision, and he's probably going to need that again. I mean, I think Derek Lewis, obviously, it's not like he's not going to, you know, not say that he has to knock somebody out. He's not going to be out there saying he's going to win by decision unless he's joking around. He knows he's got to knock him out, and that's going to be his best chance to win this fight. He's got to catch Cyril Gane, make a mistake, and, you know, Gane does keep his hands a little low at times. So I think it's going to be an interesting fight, but, you know, Cyril Gane, I am curious to see how he fights here, and I'm curious to see how interesting of a fight this is, because my one worry throughout Gane's career so far has been, while he's very good, he's not a very exciting fighter for casual fans. Like,
no.
Diehard fans will love him, but, you know, he's not a very exciting fighter, though.
Yeah, he looks like an action hero.
Yeah.
But his fights are not exciting. But, hey, don't forget, Derek Lewis, as he reminds us all the time, is an All-American wrestler. So don't
That's
think he's
true.
Just got that knockout. Sorry, I can't even say that with a straight face. No, but
he's gonna, if he shoots a takedown, I'm gonna lose my mind.
Oh, my God. It could happen. It could happen. But no, Gane is an experienced kickboxer. But like you said, he does get hit. And if Derek Lewis connects, it is night-night. And that's I'm not going to say it's a lucky punch, but luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity, right?
Yep.
You know, he's been boxing his whole life. Gane's an experienced kickboxer. So, hey, and Derek Lewis always throws those kicks. Maybe this time one of them will land.
Yeah, and he throws those big flying knees too that he likes to try to throw recently. You know, I think the one thing that will be going good for Derek Lewis in this fight is even if he's getting frustrated, you know, compare Volkov when he's getting frustrated. You know, if you were watching, you know, if you're sitting there watching and you're just screaming at Volkov, if you picked him, you're thinking, you know, open up, go throw, man. Like, you're losing the fight, just open up. Like, I know it's not that easy, and you might get picked apart, but I think the thing that's gonna go for Derek Lewis a little bit is that, you know, he's not afraid to just throw. You know, he's just going to throw. If he's losing the fight, he's going to throw big bombs. He's going to have that chance to still knock him out at any point in the fight.
Very, very true. And he won't have to worry about a takedown.
Yes.
So this has an opportunity to be a fantastic, just all-out brawl, or a very boring Wonderboy-style kickboxing joust.
Yep. It could be Ngannou versus Lewis once again.
Oh, don't say that. I watched that at a house party with some people I barely knew. I'm trying to explain to them how good this fight's going to be, and then just.
Yep. Yeah, that was not a great fight, and that's why even I would have preferred this to have been Francis Ngannou versus Derek Lewis too. But that's why I think some fans maybe are a little more okay with the interim title here versus versus Ciryl Gane, maybe a little bit.
Yeah, and I don't think Lewis will be as gun shy, seeing as Gane hasn't shown that kind of power. Like there's only two people with that kind of power, and that's Ngannou and Lewis.
Yeah. Now, the one thing Derek Lewis always has to worry about, of course, though, and Gane does a good job of it, is the work to the body. He's got to worry about getting hurt to the body, though, a little bit. But, yeah.
Hey, man, you know he just had to go number two.
That's true, too. But who knows? He might have to go number two again coming up Saturday night, though. Who knows?
That's very true. And in a great segue, in the number two position on the card, no longer the greatest woman of all time, Amanda Nunes, defending her title. She got COVID. Well wishes to her, or best wishes to her. But Jose Aldo, I still say the greatest featherweight of all time, down at bantamweight, taking on Pedro Munhoz. This is going to be a sneaky good fight. I don't even want to say sneaky good. Jose Aldo's in it. It's going to be a good fight.
It should be. You know, and Aldo, he's had a little bad luck since he's moved down, but Aldo's been so solid since the move down, you know?
I was surprised he could make the weight. Right.
I'm so surprised. And every single time he's made the weight, there's, you know, every single fight week, there's these viral videos of how Jose Aldo looks. And he looks like he's on the doorstep of death, right?
Yes.
Like, oh, my gosh. Like, how is he cutting weight? And then he goes out there the next night, and he looks fantastic. I don't know how he's cutting this weight and looking the way he is.
It's amazing. But he's always been an amazing fighter. And so hopefully this renewal at bantamweight will do him some good. In the third position on the card, another sneak. This is, I'm going to say, is actually sneaky good. Michael Chiesa versus Vicente Luque. That's going to be a welterweight showdown. That's almost a title eliminator.
That is. This is a great fight. And you have the striking of Vicente Luque, and then you have the grappling, the wrestling of Chiesa. It's going to be a great fight. I'm really excited about this one. And it's your classic grappler versus striker matchup. So, you know, whoever can nullify the other's game. You know, if Luque can stay standing, I think he's going to win, probably by knockout. Mm-hmm. And if Chiesa can get Luque to the ground, I think he probably grinds him out into a decision or finishes him on the ground, probably.
And just before that on the card, we go to the women. Tisha Torres versus Angela Hill at women's strawweight. This one's going to be a kickboxing affair all the way through.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun one. It's going to be a high-action, high-paced volume type of fight. It's a bummer we don't get Amanda Nunes now on this card. And
mm-hmm.
the card definitely loses a little star power, but I think this is also going to be a very good fight. And I think this main card is going to be pretty sneaky. You know, even if Derek Lewis, Ciryl Gane does turn into a yawner, I think there's going to be some sneaky good fights, as you said, as you put it, on this UFC 265 main card.
Yeah, the opener, Song Yadong versus Casey Kinney. That has the makings of a good one. But just before that, the main event of the prelims, Bobby Green versus Rafael Fiziev, that's going to be good. I'll have to come out from the back in time for that one.
Yeah, that's going to be fantastic. Fiziev is, he is must-watch TV. You know, for any casuals out there who haven't seen Fiziev fight, he's a guy you have to sit down for. And Bobby Green's exciting, too. Bobby Green's a solid veteran. He's always tough. He always brings it. That's going to be a really good fight.
Yep. And then at the beginning of the prelim card on ESPN2, Carolina Kovalkiewicz versus Jessica Penne. Those are some good names to watch. Now, real quick before we go, anything you want to tell us about coming up in boxing this week?
You know, normally I would jump on here and be really excited and tell you, hey, you know, there's this fight, there's this card. I got nothing for you this week, though, Eddie. I got nothing for you, I'll be honest. I got nothing for you. I'm watching UFC 265. Maybe I'll go back and watch Bellator 263 again, maybe. Maybe I'll go watch that last UFC Fight Night card from this past week, but I'm not going to watch any boxing this weekend.
All right. Well, that's all right. And look, we'll talk to you next week about what you saw, what I experienced in the arena. Join us next week as Jeff joins us again to recap 265. Stay tuned for Sports Guys Talking Wrestling with Stu and Justin. We're proud to be the MMA show of Texas. Stay tuned.
Happy trails to you. Till we meet again.